Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. The gospel lessons, and one other verse, and that verse is Psalm 41, verse 9. Evangelizing Judas? What? Just how far are you going to push this idea of evangelism? Just how far are you going to go, inviting sinners into the kingdom of heaven and into salvation and into forgiveness? Just how far are you going to push this business of inviting people into the church? Are you going to want to bring in people we are not comfortable with? Yes. So what are your impressions and mental images of Judas? A betrayer? One who must not, cannot ever be trusted? One who, if you do trust, you will be sorry? But then there is Psalm 41, verse 9. Listen closely. Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And this is the verse that Jesus quoted at the Last Supper, and then he gave the sop to Judas. The sop, by the way, is the chosen piece, the prize morsel of the entire meal. In the course of the meal, you take a piece of matzah, you break it and get two small pieces, and you make a sandwich between it with ingredients, and you dip it in the sauce, and you carefully prepare it, and you present it to somebody, and in that presentation, they are recognized as the recognized friend, specially trusted and near and dear to the host of the Seder meal. Even my close friend, whom I trusted. In fact, if we get the seating of the Passover correctly, the seating of the Last Supper, arranged in couches of three people apiece, leaning on the left, leaning against each other, and John was leaning up against Jesus, and Jesus would have been in the center of the couch. Who was Jesus leaning up against? Likely Judas. Close friend whom I trusted, the one who I lean up against. There are warnings to Judas, warnings to turn back. The befriending, the seating arrangement, the sop. Then the words, "What you are going to do, do quickly." And he shows Judas that he knows exactly what is going on. It is, as we've said before, the look you in the eye and tell you what is inside your soul look that Jesus does. And Judas is confronted. And sorry to say, I've heard somebody say during my 30-some years in the ministry, "Why did God not stop me from doing that thing that was wrong?" The answer is, well, because God gave you the freedom to turn away from him, and he absolutely supports that freedom in you. And day by day, he refuses to violate and compromise the gift that he has given to you. But Jesus shows Judas that he knows exactly what is going on. And then comes the warning in the garden. Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? You know what those words are talking about. The Old Testament figure, the Son of Man who would come in the clouds of glory and would rule. Do you betray that one with a kiss? Realize what you are doing. Turn back. Turn back. There is still time. Turn back. But all of that forms within Judas the knowledge that he has done wrong. He has offended against God, betrayed innocent blood. He is confronted by his sin. But now, fit that part into the constant preaching and ministry of Jesus. How many times had Judas heard Jesus speak to sinners and give forgiveness? Just off the top of the head, the woman at the well, the paralyzed man whose friends lowered him through the roof on the mat, the woman caught in adultery, the man born blind, and on and on and on it goes. So many that Judas, the same as any other sinner, is not allowed to go into hell without the protests of God reaching out to him and trying to prevent him from being lost. Jesus is serious about calling to sinners, all of us, and no matter what kind of sin. How far does God reach out with forgiveness? How far does Jesus go with that forgiveness? All the way to the cross. To the complete forsakenness and darkness, all the way to the cry. You know the reference. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that is a part of the captivating power of Christianity, that we do not have a God who demands that we reform, that we follow a spiritual path, that we come to him. We have a God who comes down into the uncleanness of our lives and who doesn't just meet us there. He touches the lepers and makes them clean. He bows down to wash the feet of prideful disciples. He goes to the tomb and he calls Lazarus out, and then he takes Lazarus' place in the tomb. Think about that. He came to seek and save that which was lost by becoming lost. And in the middle of this, what happens is the unthinkable, the unimaginable. This is borrowed from a sermon on Jonah. Jonah, who found out through some difficult lessons and hard knocks learning that God can and does reach out to sinners in unexpected and unimaginable ways. He goes where he is not supposed to be. He brings people into his kingdom that should not be in the kingdom of God. He forgives sins that should not be forgiven. And he behaves in ways that an almighty, all-powerful God should not behave in. That day, that particular day for the disciples was a day of surprise and amazement. And they did not understand. It began with Jesus gathering his disciples at the table and then getting up to wash their feet. Outrageous, unimaginable, unfathomable, unthinkable. And then he sat down and he told them that one of them would betray him. Who is it, Lord? Who is it, Lord? It is the one I give the morsel to. And then the morsel, the choice part, is given to the betrayer. After Jesus quotes the psalm to call Judas a close friend whom he trusted. And then he sets out the bread and wine and he says, take, eat, this is my body and this is my blood of the New Testament shed for you, entirely beyond imagining or understanding. So exactly who is beyond the reach of those things that Jesus was doing? Exactly who is beyond that reach? And you know, when I think about it, the most surprising place for God to reach out to? Reflect on that. Just how far does Jesus push this idea of evangelism? Just how far does he go inviting sinners into the kingdom of heaven and into salvation and into forgiveness? Just how far does he go inviting people into the church? You know, without him going to the extreme, the full measure of the extreme, I'm not included. And does he bring in people we are not comfortable with? Yes, absolutely. You know how I know this? Because I'm not always comfortable with myself. And I need a Savior who does this to the extreme. And doesn't leave any part of me out of it. And lets me know that no matter where I have gone or what there is in me, he's there. And this is Jesus on the way to the cross.